Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
Is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Senate Avenue Brewing is where we are tonight, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village. So if you're on 290 and you're on your way up here, you want to catch live radio, the best in soccer talk, by the way, self-proclaimed. Join us. We got a couple of great guests here tonight for the show. We got a lot of topics to get into. Again, it's Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village. If you're on 290, you get off the Senate Avenue exit. Soccer Matters is always presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Award-winning craft beer out here, great food. I know it's kind of a rainy, dark night, but it's a good night to get out. So come out here and join us next 2 hours. We will have two players that have performed in Major League Soccer. Good news is they're also both from the Houston area. Josh Gardner will join me in the next segment. He's an MLS Cup winner with the LA Galaxy, also played for Sporting Kansas City, the Columbus Crew, and in Seattle. He's now in player development running Rangers, which is an MLS Next program. There are three MLS Next programs, the Houston Dynamo, Rangers, and GFI, if I'm not mistaken. So come on out. We're going to have some good player development talk with Josh. We'll talk about his career as well and how he runs his club, what philosophically they're doing, what type of club culture he has, and we'll get into that. And again, these are two guys that are from the Houston area that obviously as a city we've produced guys that are coaching at all levels. We just had Chris Bondi coaching UConn. They got eliminated by Maryland in the NCAA tournament. But we have coaches at a lot of different levels all over the country, from youth all the way up to all the different divisions in college. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. We are 4 days away from the World Cup draw. It's in Washington, D.C. We're going to find out who's coming to play in Houston at Energy Stadium right here on ESPN 97.5, which is your soccer station. We will have a live four-hour show that will prep us watching those little ping-pong balls and finding out who's in what groups. We'll have a lot of guests that day. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll be over at East River 9. Now, Brian, you've been to East River 9, right? Producer, okay, so tell us a little bit about what to expect. Oh, okay, he can't talk. But it's East River 9 is off of Edo, near downtown. It's not far from there, and it's been a special place for the station to host a variety of events. So looking forward to that. And we'll have profiles of all the teams. We'll talk some history. But most importantly, we'll be there live on the moment to report and talk about and pontificate a little bit about the teams that will be coming not only to Houston, but also around the country. Inter Miami and Vancouver, that'll be your MLS Cup final. Star quality for sure. Thomas Muller for Vancouver has literally changed the entire dynamic in that city, both on and off the field. This is Caitlin Clark-like when it comes to how he has changed things there. They've gone to selling out stadiums. We'll counter him with Lionel Messi in Miami. Of course, Miami wants to win this title. They're moving into a new stadium by the airport. They want to have that star above their badge. So you got the star quality in this, but you've got two tremendous supporting casts and a lot of storylines around Vancouver and Inter Miami. That game will be on Saturday. One of the storylines is the final four teams in Major League Soccer were all coaches that had no prior experience in the league. So we just blew the notion out of the water that you have to be someone who's connected and understands MLS. I'm sure those guys all had people around them helping them with salary cap issues, player categorization, all of that, which is unique to MLS, which is a centralized league. But these coaches have nailed it. And Jesper Sorensen put on a clinic with the way he had his team play against San Diego. Totally took them out of their game in their stadium. And then you got Inter Miami, Javier Mascherano. People, he's only coached, youth national teams. How's he going to do it day to day? I even said that. That's always a challenge for a coach, right? Well, he seemed to get it right. This is interesting with Inter Miami because he's benched Luis Suarez, and that's a pretty bold decision, and coaches have to make bold decisions, and it's worked out very well. Tadeo Allende has set a record of scoring 8 goals in the postseason. If he gets one in the final, he'll be the biggest goal scorer in the history of the playoffs in Major League Soccer. That's a story. And there's others. Silvete's a story, the 19-year-old. But this will be the biggest final in history based on the attention of Messi and Muller, I believe. And there'll be a lot of people that are anti-Inter Miami because they think they get a lot of preferential treatment from Major League Soccer. I think that's pretty fair to say. So they will be the hated team to some, much like Club America in Mexico. Fidel, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe the Yankees in L.A. in Major League Baseball. I don't know who. I guess the hated team in the NBA is probably whatever team LeBron James is on because he's loved, too. But I don't know. He bounces around to a lot of teams. I don't like that whole bouncing around trying to get on the team that's going to win the title. That's why MJ is always the greatest in the history of the NBA. There's no question. No question. Maybe Real Madrid and Barcelona. As much as they're loved, around the world, they're not always loved. I think I see a soccer game on over there. I don't know what game that is that's being re-aired. We'll have to find out. Again, we're at Senate Avenue Brewing, 60,000 Dillard in Jersey Village. Okay, I want to get into a topic here before we hit our first break and then bring on Josh Gardner. And that topic is what happened last night in Liga MX playoffs. Pretty intense, pretty crazy what occurred. So Tigres reversed a 3-0 aggregate scoreline. They did that by knocking off Tijuana in the second leg at Tigres, and they won 5-0. It's pretty incredible. 5-0. Then we had Chicharito and Cruz Azul and Arturo Alvarez just walked in here. It's hard to believe he's not being mobbed by anybody. How are you, Arturo? So we'll have Arturo coming on. He's a U.S. soccer scout as well. So Chicharito, who's only played 118 minutes, has an opportunity in the final minutes of the game to take a penalty. And it's a 2-2 scoreline. And at that scoreline, Cruz Azul can advance based on the position in the table during the regular season. There's a penalty. It's somewhat controversial. Luis Romo picks up the ball. There's all this other stuff that's going on. There's a red card given. And Romo holds the ball. And then all of a sudden, after all this stuff that's going on, he gives the ball. Chicharito walks up and takes the ball from him and is going to take the penalty. Now, he's only played 118 minutes the entire season. I just want to remind you, hasn't been the best of times for him. So he's going to take the penalty and basically gets up there and skies it, goes over the top. So it leads to all this discussion today, and people are absolutely destroying him. So first of all, did the coach have a designated penalty taker? Second of all, why didn't anybody else want to take the penalty? Third of all, they've only had two penalties all season long. The other one was missed by, I'm trying to remember who it was. So they really haven't had anybody that's converted a penalty in league play. He takes it, and there's all these theories now, and he misses it. And he's been a guy that you kind of have realized has nosedived. I was surprised none of his other teammates wanted to take it. There is this thing of a final tribute because this was his team, Chivas, where he performed before he went to Manchester United and before he went to Leverkusen and produced incredible soccer there. But this guy has been lost for the last couple of years, let's be honest, from on-field performance to being a social media guy and, you know, doing the whole interesante, all this. I didn't see him focused, and when I saw him go up and take the penalty, I was just, he's not going to make this. That's what I'm thinking at home. And it's sad for him. But this, to me, seemed like the narrative was trying to be controlled. You know, former player comes back, he's taking the penalty, we're doing it for the legacy. If that's why you're giving him the penalty, that's a big mistake. You want your best penalty taker at this time to take it. Was it really Chicharito? And he's kind of become, sadly, a caricature of what he once was. And what he once was something special. When he was on Manchester United, when he was on Bayer Leverkusen, which he shouldn't have left, West Ham, and in the early years at Chivas, this guy was the epitome of movement and mobility and pulling apart defenses, not only for himself, but for others. He was not a dribbler, wasn't an exceptionally good passer of the ball. He was okay. He kept it very simple. His gift was movement, mobility, and knowing where a ball was going to be in the penalty area. He was incredible. I mean, he struck fear into people with his movement. And precisely the type of a guy big center backs don't want to play against that are mobile or moving or getting on your blind side. So I felt sad for him, to be honest with you. But a lot of it he brought on himself, I think, because of the whole social media thing, the guru he has. I mean, and social media is a danger. You don't see Harry Kane doing this. You don't see the guys that are going to go down in history as the greatest players fooling around, stroking their ego with, you know, being online and shooting these bizarre videos and having gurus and letting you in that much. The great guys don't let you in that much. So it was sad. And now everybody's weighing in today. There's apologists for him. There are people that are destroying this guy. But you have to say part of it you brought upon yourself. 109 caps and 52 goals for Mexico. That's almost a goal every two games. The little P, Chicharito. He would stream on Twitch and call himself Chicha God. I'm not sure about that. But, yeah, they're sad. It's sad. And I felt it very sad. He looked sad. And it was a moment that... I don't know. I'm not sure he should have been put in that position. Not sure who else would have taken the penalty. Cade Cowell wasn't in the game. He took a penalty in the League's Cup. You remember Cade Cowell? He scored a goal in this game and had an assist. If he was in the game, I would have had him take it based on the night he was having and the confidence he had. And he made one in the League's Cup for Chivas, if my memory serves me right. And he's not the most refined player. He's an athlete. But he had a great game in this game, goal and an assist. Should have scored another goal, too. He was a winner. But Chicharito's only played 118 minutes. I mean, the entire season in the Apertura. That's pretty bizarre. Where are we at, Brian? Are we up on a hard break here? 2 minutes? Okay. I can fill 2 minutes. I'm pretty good at that. Not hard, personally. So what we do have now is Toluca and Monterrey. Toluca's Hector Herrera taking on Rayados and Sergio Ramos. Ramos is going to leave Monterrey. And then you got Tigres and Cruz Azul. I would like a Tigres-Monterrey final, frankly. The Clásico Regio, right? Is that right, Arturo? That's a good one. That's a good one. So let's hope for that. A couple of other items here. Christian Benteke, by the way, 47 goals in 93 games for DC United is not bad. You don't hear anything about him because he's at DC United, because DC United is DC United. They're dead. Dead in the water. They're one of the teams you put in a category in Major League Soccer that's not ambitious. And they'll tell you, well, we spent all this money for him. Yes, you did. But have you built anything around him? What has happened to your once proud franchise? Now, that doesn't mean they can't restructure his contract, but somebody's going to have to give him in the neighborhood of $4 million, I would think, because he made $4.9 million last year. He might have to be talked down a little bit. He might have to take less because he's 35 years old, but there is targeted allocation money. And the last one before we go to break, if you remember 9 years ago, there was a famous plane crash with a team called Chapecoense from Brazil. It was one of the saddest things I ever heard. They described the flight as the lights and all the electric going off and just a weightless gliding in the sky before it crashed. It killed an entire successful team, except for one guy. That was 9 years ago. Took 71 lives. And it was mostly players and staff. And if you ever read the article about it, it was eerie. The whole thing was eerie. How this one guy survived, I have no idea. It's one player. I can't remember his name. The good news is they're back, and they were promoted to the top league in Brazil, Brazil's top flight, which is kind of a nice thing. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We are at Senate Avenue Brewing. By the way, here, 16,000 Dillard, right off 290, award-winning craft beer. Andrew Mitchum, the owner, is in the house tonight. They play soccer matches here, all your games on TV. First beer is free if you come in with a jersey. Tonight, there's still time, plenty of time. Crab cakes, pizza, the Hassle Light Blonde, Mare Murky, you name it. Great tacos, shrimp, fish, street, and I think they're having a special tonight. Chicken fried steak. Thank you, Brian McDonald. All right, let's take a break. Cactus Music break here tonight for all the best in vinyl and CDs. Cactus Music coming up next. Former Major League Soccer player, now currently the head of MLS Next Rangers, Josh Gardner joins me live here from Senate Avenue Brewing.
Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
We got some superstars walking in the room. Got CONCACAF writer Victor Ariza just jumped in. Jan-Luc Blackburn of Team Houston. We're going to talk to those guys later. We're going to bring them on. But we welcome you back now. This is a song by a group called Hot Chocolate called Everyone's a Winner. It's a classic song. But there will only be one winner this weekend, either Inter Miami or Vancouver. Okay, I'm losing my voice here, which is not a good sign here in segment two. This is not good. Okay, I'm going to do my best David Lee Roth impersonations here and see if I can pump it out. All right, joining us now, local product, played at Major League Soccer. I mentioned earlier, LA Galaxy, Columbus, Seattle, Sporting Kansas City. Grew up playing on the fields here in Houston, Texas, before going to the University of Cincinnati and then to go in Nike Project 40 at the time. He is Josh Gordon, who joins us now. Josh, how are you?
Good, Glenn. How are you?
All right. I'm lobbing you a softball. How excited are you for 2026 World Cup? We have the World Cup draw on Friday, and it is seven games in Houston. How excited?
I'll be excited to see who's coming to Houston, I'll tell you that much. My boys keep bugging me about if we're getting tickets or not, so we'll see.
So let me ask you a question. If you had your druthers, what team outside of the United States national team would you like to see in Houston? Can be for any reason, but you got to pick somebody. And Arturo's getting a little lead in here. He's getting the questions, so he's going to know what's coming next.
Yeah, well, we see enough of Mexico in Houston, so I would not like to see them here.
Well, you can't say that in front of Fidel. He's wearing a Mexican jersey.
I understand that. Sorry, Fidel. however, you know, I would love to see a Brazil.
Yeah,
I mean, they're
that
just
would be amazing.
Iconic. So,
good one. By the way, call tonight, 713-780-3776. Tell us what team you would like to see drop down in Houston for World Cup 2026. We got seven games, six. Five of them are group stage matches, and then we have two knockout round matches. All right. Growing up in Houston, do you have a sense of pride here now, coming back here to run a program, MLS Next program? I sometimes think we don't capture the pride that we have for all the things that occur at every level of soccer in Houston. I don't think we're good enough at that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a huge sense of pride just growing up here and playing on the fields locally, being a part of that generation, really, of, you know, the Eric Quills, the Arturo Alvarezes, you know, guys like that who grew up playing here and have gone on to do great things in the game. I couldn't tell you how many guys after our group of players have gone on to have really successful pro careers. But it is good to see some of these guys still in the game, Chris Bondi, guys like that who are making an impact in the lives of players.
Yeah, there's more than we know from Houston. They're at all different levels of the college game. They're at the youth level. They're in high school coaching. I mean, they're spreading the lore. And even more important, many of them are fathers who are passing their game on to their kids now. And, I mean, you've got fathers from youth teammates and all throughout your youth career now in your club, which is called Rangers, which is a part of MLS Next.
Yeah, no, it's really cool to see, you know, guys coming from different clubs and trying to see the vision that we're trying to put together at Houston Rangers. And then my youth club as well, Kingdom Football Academy, who pushes into the Rangers program. But, you know, it's the game is getting better at the younger ages, and so it's still trying to navigate what the best thing is for the player to make it onto the next level.
Okay, let's talk about MLS Next. There's three teams in Houston. There's the Houston Dynamo, there's GFI, there's the Houston Rangers, your club. Simply take me into the culture there, the philosophy that you have, and what is important when it comes to player development.
Yeah, so we briefly discussed this earlier. You know, we're 3 years into our existence, so we're still trying to identify what our culture is going to be. I think I mentioned this before that we've put nine players into MLS academies. We have another kid leaving next week to go to Pumas in Mexico on trial, and there's a good opportunity that he signs there. So it almost seems like every year we're trying to rebuild our teams and help our players. Now, this is the MLS Next homegrown division. Our academy teams are doing very well in their league play, so we're trying to push those kids into first team minutes. And then our third team players are trying to push in the second team. So we're still trying to identify what our what our culture is going to be. Are we just going to be a player development club where we push players on to the next level? Do we want to win trophies? Of course, but I also think that we have to develop the individual player first before the collective part of the game becomes, you know, every parents want wins. We mentioned it before, like, is that the end goal of this whole thing? So it's for us to allow our players to develop and explore the game in a safe environment. And we're still trying to get that right as coaches in the way that we speak to them and teach them, and then open doors for them at the next level.
All right. The young man that's going down on trial at Pumas, did they approach you or did you approach them? How did that connection occur?
They did not approach me. I believe he's been on a few different trials with Querétaro, and I believe, what's the club right below, is it Juarez? And below El Paso?
Juarez, yeah.
So he was on trial with a couple of those clubs, and he did very well. But I think Puma saw him at a recent event, and he's gone on to go down there on trial. So I think that's a great opportunity for him. And it's just neat. I mean, we have a lot of culture here in Houston.
Josh Gardner joining us, former professional in Major League Soccer. He's now heading up Houston Rangers in MLS Next. Do you get concerned because everybody MLS Next, you got to be MLS Next, you got to be MLS Next? That concerns me a little bit because there's a lot of good players that are outside of MLS Next.
No, absolutely. I mean, every club that we come and contact with, it's like a World Cup game, right? They want to beat you. You have a target on your back, which is great. We want that. But there are a lot of good players that are playing ECNL. There are a lot of good players that are playing local league. I feel like the exposure that we are able to give our players is top-notch. As far as going to MLS Fest this coming week, we have over 500 colleges in attendance. National team scouts, Arturo is going to be there. His staff is going to be there evaluating players. And so I think that's something that sets us apart a little bit. But there are great players everywhere. And we saw this past weekend in the Copa Riados tournament.
Josh Gardner joining us here out at Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. It's a great place to come here tonight. Great discussion here about player development. What's the relationship like with the Houston Dynamo? Because I do know that you're always willing, if they're interested in a player, to push them forward.
Yeah, we're never going to close the door to that. There are some weeks where they want to see a couple players, but we have an important game that we want to focus on the team with. So this week we've got two players going in to train with their 2011s. We're always going to have that door wide open. They do a great job with working with their players, and we want to give them the best that we have to offer and give our kids opportunities at that level.
So what happens if they go to the Dynamo? And there's still a debate always about staffs, who's got the best staff. Technically, you would think it would be the pro team, but there's people that have all kinds of opinions on this. It's listen, the youth soccer conversation is pretty heavy and it's pretty intense. That can be good and that can be sometimes bad. But, you know, what happens if they go there and all of a sudden it's not the connection or it's not the environment they want?
You know, sometimes the players come back to us and continue on their development. The majority of the players at Houston Dynamo are going to go into the college program. They do a great job putting their kids in good schools. And hopefully the one or two in each age group make it to the first team, you know, start with the second team, make it to the first team. But if they don't last at Houston Dynamo, I mean, we always have an open door policy for those kids to come back and continue on their grind.
I've been trying to get, by the way, the head of the Dynamo Academy, Tony Vigil, on. I'm going to keep trying, but I'm trying to track him down. I've asked him a couple times to come on because I really want to hear from the Dynamo, and I want to hear what the Dynamo has to say about player development, because there is one thing that's very obvious to everyone, but nobody wants to say anything about it, and that is we are not utilizing local players, and they're not getting through to the first team. We've said this a lot of times, and that, I think, would be something incredibly healthy from so many standpoints, especially from the standpoint of community. That's how you become community. Okay. Inverted systems in soccer now. I'm looking at Arturo, and I'm looking at you, and both of you guys were dribblers. You took people on. Artura loved to take people
he
on
was
and
way
beat
better.
Them off the dribble.
He was way better.
But
than
you
me.
Were both dribblers. Okay? And now I see people picking up a ball out wide, putting their foot on it, recirculating it is the word. What's happening? Why are we doing that? Why are we negating players in one-on-one situations to make good judgment and take people on?
Honestly, I think it's because we're not getting into 1v1 situations. We're getting into 1v4 situations. And you mentioned earlier about social media.
But then I'm going to stop you. How come you're not good at getting into one-on-one situations?
No, we can get into 1v1 situations. But Arturo is very good at beating a few players and then releasing the ball and continuing on in his movement. We have players who want to dribble 3, 4, 5 kids, then lose the ball, then, you know, you got numbers flying forward. The dynamic of the game changes. You can't get players to pass the ball now, in my opinion. Now, this is me and the day in, day out of what we're working with in our groups. But, you know, we always encourage 1v1 situations, take a player on. It's whenever they start to take on three players who are right around them and lose the ball. That's where we have to decide, is that the right decision?
How do you break them of that habit? How did they get in that habit in the first place?
This is why I'm still coaching, Glenn.
Okay.
I'm still trying to learn this. Yeah.
Okay. That maybe was not the fairest of questions, but it is. I think it also has to do with the modernization of the game. I mean, we hear the word overload, overload, overload. Mm. Wasn't an overload a 2v1 or a 3v2?
No, we were playing in a 4-4-2. It was much different, right?
But you could still pull off 1-2s.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could still get a second player next to somebody else, an
yeah.
isolated defender, and play a wall pass or a 1-2.
Yeah, yeah. I think nowadays, I have my theory, I have my thoughts on it, but players nowadays are so glued to their phones and always looking down. That now in the games, I tell my kids in the car, put your phone away, look outside, you know, let's work on your spatial awareness. And maybe that could be something to do with it. I have no idea.
Do you know what my youth coach used to tell me? He said, when you walk in the halls at school, don't walk with your head down. Have your head up and be looking right and left and being aware of what's in front of you. And that stuck with me for the rest of my life.
Yep.
I mean... Now, we're talking late 70s, and some of those lessons from a coach back then still apply,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty amazing, which makes me almost think, are we overcomplicating the game?
Maybe. I mean, the game is super simple.
Data, yeah. Zones, new language.
Yeah.
Isn't simplicity genius in the game of soccer?
Yeah. I mean, you would think so. You would think so. I do believe like we have some very talented players who get themselves into great positions and they can beat players over and over and over again, but then the final product isn't there. So then what part of their development is going to work on their finishing, their final touch, their decisions at the byline, where are they passing the ball? We have a lot of those kids in our system that can beat players easily, but then their final product isn't quite there yet. So it's just, you know, it's a work in progress.
How can we be a country that throws this much money at the sport of soccer and we don't produce more Christian Pulisics? I mean, think of the money that's thrown at the game in this country.
Yeah.
And we're not producing more Pulisics.
You want me to try and answer that? I don't know if I can.
No, maybe it's a statement.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a statement. But
yeah.
It does make you think when you think.
Well, did I see something recently, Glenn, about U.S. soccer trying to figure something out with maybe leagues or maybe everything comes under one umbrella?
Yeah, trying to sort it all out. Well, we can maybe Arturo knows a little bit more about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it's not the easiest of things to do because the landscape is clouded. It's very confusing. I think it's very intimidating for parents, too, which doesn't make your job easier or any of the coaches' jobs easier. In closing, talk to me a little bit about, you know, your club, what the future holds, how much you're enjoying it. I love seeing guys like you and Arturo, you know, taking the lead and coaching and being the next wave of the great minds of the sport.
It's a lot of fun. I find a lot of joy in working with players. This past year, I've kind of taking a step back from the field and just trying to observe a little bit more of what my coaches are doing, what my players are doing, our players are doing. And I got to coach the last couple weeks, you know, some games, and I really enjoy it. I love being on the field. I love, you know, trying to figure out the little nuances of the game and helping players break through their plateaus. And, you know, we have a lot of growth coming up in our club. We still are trying to get things right. Like I said, it's our third year, but we've been very successful in what we've done as far as player development goes. And it's just a continual learning process. I'm always learning. You know, I fail every day at times, and it's how can I learn from those mistakes?
Josh, real quick, the amount of games that kids are playing, flying every weekend, going to different places, it's incredibly stressful on parents. It's financially stressful on them. It's mentally stressful on them. Are there too many games for youth players?
I don't think there are enough games that are local. I think we're traveling too far to play. You know, some kids are getting 40 minutes flying or driving to Dallas. You know, I mean, think about the time they spend in the car to get 40 minutes and then driving back. Yeah. There are a lot of good players and clubs in the Houston area that I would love to play, you know, midweek games, something that, like derbies, you know.
Under the lights,
you know, playing against all the clubs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's something that we're definitely missing out on in Houston.
Josh, thank you, because you came in here, you got a tracksuit on, you got a jacket on, you're going right back out to the fields. I love it. Thank you very much for coming on tonight, and thanks for making the effort to come out here to Senate Avenue Brewing. Let's give Josh Gardner a round of applause for making it out here.
Thank you, Glenn.
Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village, award-winning craft beer. Get out here. The food combines with this incredible craft beer. And by the way, they got a ton of selections. You walk in the door, you see these beautiful shiny beer vats, which I know the beer culture would love. I do want to give a shout out here to Nico's Greek and American Cafe, also a great sponsor of this show. Three locations in Houston, I-10 and the Beltway. You have the location in the Woodlands, which is the newest, and then the legendary Montrose location, which is the first one I used to go to. I would be coaching out in Bear Creek Park, and I would get in there with Dimitri's parents, and they'd still feed me when they were locking the place up. I never forget that. And to see how big that, you know, they've become in Houston when it comes to the food scene. Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Let's take a break. Let's come back. How about U.S. soccer scout Arturo Alvarez, a great dribbler in his day, and also a former member of the San Jose Earthquakes. Also, FC Dallas. Everybody knows him from his times in Dallas. Take a break. We'll come back. Arturo Alvarez next.
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters as we continue on here tonight. Senate Avenue Brewing is the site, and if you're out and about on the town, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village. It's right off of 290. It's a real easy exit. You're right in. Great food. We've got a nice little crowd. We've got coming up Jean-Luc Blackburn. We'll be coming up a little bit later from Team Houston to talk World Cup 2026, opportunity, networking, what's going to happen in our city. We'll have CONCACAF writer Victor Arizon. We'll talk some MLS Cup final, but right now, we bring in Arturo Alvarez. Grew up playing here in Houston. I just learned you and Josh played at Maid Creek High School. Arturo, exceptional talent, San Jose Earthquakes, FC Dallas, Houston Dynamo. Excellent technically. We always liked Arturo taking people on, and he also was a member of the El Salvadorian national team, La Selecta. So he is now a scout for U.S. Soccer. Arturo, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you?
And I'm very thankful you made the effort to get out here tonight. It's always nicer to interview people in person, and it's nice to see you.
Nah, it's good to see you, as always, and thanks for inviting me over to your show. I think the last time I was on the show, I was still playing, so it's been quite a few years, but I'm happy to be here.
I finally tracked your people down. I got you. I told you I was going to be relentless, so we got you.
It's a lot harder to get a hold of me these days.
I bet it is, and I'm interested to hear about your schedule when it comes to what you're doing with U.S. soccer. But let's start off with just the same question I threw at Josh, just the sense of pride that comes with coming out of Houston and being involved in the game, not only as a pro, but now post-playing career.
Yeah, no, it's been, you know, Houston is home for me. You know, born and raised in Houston. When I was playing, I always wanted to, I was looking forward to the games in Houston. So, you know, just being able to represent the city in other places, in other clubs. I got to play in Europe. So I always hold Houston really close to me. And then, you know, at the end of my career, I got the opportunity to put on that Dynamo shirt, and that was a special moment. And to be honest, we got to win an Open Cup that year, so that was great. So, yeah, and now, you know, as you mentioned earlier, now I'm a U.S. soccer scout. I'm a talent ID manager for the South region, which includes Texas and surrounding states.
That Open Cup win was over the Philadelphia Union, right?
It was.
Yeah. That was the Dynamo Open Cup win before the Open Cup win over Inter Miami. All right, so U.S. soccer scout, that's what you are. Tell us what that is, what it entails, how much talent assessment you do, how much traveling, and how many U.S. soccer scouts are there?
Yeah, there's a lot of scouts. There's not enough. Obviously, we all know that the U.S. is a big country. You know, over 300 million people. So I wish we had more scouts, but we have six managers. We kind of divide the country in six regions. And then we have local network scouts that help us cover as many games as possible. And I've been doing this for about, I would say, coming a little bit over 2 years now. I've been a talent ID manager 1 year. And so it's been great. You know, I focus on making sure I know the players that are within our environment, within my region, and I'm also always looking for new talent.
So where do you go, let's say, in Houston? Do you go outside of MLS Next? Do you go outside of all the organized leagues? Do you sometimes go into the East Side potentially, or in areas where they're unaffiliated players?
So we usually cover MLS Next and ECNL games. There is some, I reach out to clubs. I do put together a talent ID center session, which is for the two youngest age groups available in our programming, which is U14 and U15. And I put together a local talent ID where I connect with clubs, not necessarily in ECNL or, you know, it could be USYS, it could be other leagues, and I ask them to recommend their best players so I can get a chance to bring them all together and evaluate them myself.
Interesting. Arturo Alvarez joining us, former Major League Soccer player, currently a scout for U.S. Soccer, and we're pleased that Arturo made it out here to Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village, for this live show. World Cup 2026. We got seven games in Houston. You grew up playing here. You went on to be a pro. You're now coaching with U.S. soccer. What does it mean to you?
No, it means a lot. You know, I've never been to a World Cup, but to have one in your backyard, it's amazing. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing time. Houston's a great city. It's a great soccer city. We've all seen it before. You know, we've had, you know, friendly games with sold-out stadiums, and we've had, you know, Copa America and games like that. So I think it's definitely a good place to host some World Cup games, and I'm looking forward to the draw on Friday.
Friday, big draw. Arturo just led me right into it. We're going to do a little self-promotion here. We have a four-hour show on Friday at East River 9 off of downtown, starting at 11, going till 2 o'clock, or maybe 3. And we'll be there for when they drop those ping pong balls and we find out who's coming to Houston. You know, it's interesting. I've had Hugo Perez on the show, who you're very well aware of, and you know Mauricio Cienfuegos. It's interesting. El Salvador now is coming to the U.S. holding kind of mini camps to find dual citizens to potentially represent their country. I mean, it's pretty intense. I mean, I know we have informal scouts or formal scouts of every single Liga MX team here in Houston. No question about it. It's pretty incredible the attention U.S. is getting from the standpoint of players and player development.
Yeah, as we all know, you know, the United States is a big melting pot. I mean, we have people from all over the world. You know, at events, we see scouts from Germany, we see scouts from Poland, we see scouts from other countries. So, you know, I'm definitely not surprised to see scouts from Mexico, you know, from Central American countries. Yeah, and, you know, some of these players and former coaches, like you mentioned for El Salvador, they're starting to, you know, take this initiative to, you know, begin having, like, local talent ID centers for dual nationals, which is something that we have to deal with on a daily basis in this country. We have dual, we have multinational players that could represent two or three teams. It's just, you know, it's just the way that things are nowadays.
Arturo Alvarez joining us tonight here, former pro, is a U.S. soccer scout right now. And I'm looking at you, and I'm flashing back to Bear Creek Park and remembering you dribbling kids and just how comfortable you were with the ball. And, you know, those were good nights under the lights training, and you had a nice team that you were on. You had a lot of great friends on that team. And I'm thinking of that, and then I'm thinking to modern day now, because that was a while ago. And I'm thinking modern day youth players, and I'm wondering, in your mind, what does it look like? How is it different? How are they challenged differently? Are they challenged differently? Was there something good about the simplicity back then? Because you had a coach that encouraged you from a technical side, and Carlos Lessa, to do your thing. And maybe in a lot of ways he was a genius, because he helped you with that, but he also allowed you the freedom to try things.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's quite a few things. Obviously, the game has evolved, has changed. And just from my personal standpoint, I think that there's less creativity. I think we focused a lot more in formations and systems. And that's something that's kind of taken away from the creativity, the 1v1s, the taking players on. And so, you know, I briefly overheard your conversation with Josh about some of these players that, you know, what's the difference or what's going on? Like, what's the issue? I just feel like the decision-making as well, from just not knowing when to let go of the ball, because we want to encourage players to take people on. We want them to be good 1v1 players. But it's just recognizing the moments to, you know, change it up and be able to combine or, you know, or take players on or cross. Just be a little bit more unpredictable instead of just trying to take two or three players on, when nowadays it's a lot more harder because teams are a lot more organized.
Yeah, so the lean is now more to tactics, you think? Do you think we're getting into tactics too early with young players?
Not necessarily too early. It's just maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah. It's pretty heavy. I know Pep Guardiola brought us the inverted wingers to great success, but I'm a guy who loves the game widened out when you have the ball, and from an entertainment perspective, I understand why people play with inverted wingers and want to play a narrow game, because when you lose the ball, you can pressure immediately and repress and all of that. But I don't know. What do you think about systems of play now?
Well, I mean, I myself was an inverted winger. So I was a player playing on the right side, coming inside with my left.
In MLS.
In Portugal, in Hungary, in MLS.
But as a youth player, you were on the left a lot.
I was on the youth. I was playing more as it was your typical 4-4-2.
Yeah.
And I was like
one
of the second forwards.
You got the ball on your left foot. The ball's coming across your body.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Yeah. So that's definitely something that I grew up playing as, almost like a second forward, withdrawn forward. I think just because of the, you know, my 1v1 ability on the wings, it enabled maybe, you know, a fullback to kind of get forward. And, you know, I also you gotta, when you play as an inverted winger, you have to be able to combine. You're not gonna have a successful rate of coming inside. Yeah, it's just too much. So I was good at finding those through balls, getting creative, maybe coming inside and switching the point of attack, or maybe coming inside to combine and then, you know, the fullback. So there's different ways of looking at that and being successful. You just have to have kind of like the right players doing it.
Yeah, interesting. It is a big part of it, the inverted game. And do we over-circulate the ball sometimes too much? And I guess that could be at any level, but I mean, maybe even, you know, it seems pretty consistent. Like a lot of times I'll see guys one-on-one. I'm like, please, take the person on, go. And then they put their foot on the ball and they knock it back and the whole other team gets back behind the ball. Now you got to break down nine guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes to what I said earlier as far as like teams being more organized, you know, tactically more organized, better. So it does take away a little bit from maybe having players taking, you know, 1v1 situations. But at the same time, I think you have to take risk. And that's why the big players, the big elite players, they take risk. And they're not successful all the time, but when they are, it becomes very noticeable, and it wins
right.
games.
Wins games.
So, you know, just making sure, like, finding the right moments to do so, I think it's kind of gone away from not only the youth, but also in the pro level.
The best laid out tactical plan can be destroyed by one thing, the individual player. Real quick, 30 seconds. What are you looking for when you go out there looking for players? Give some of my listeners the characteristics if they got a son out there or a daughter.
No, real simple. I think, you know, I was just at the U-20 World Cup, and I was able to do some opposition scouting, and that was a great learning experience. And I would say for me, it kind of changed the way I look at things now. And for me, the most important thing in the youth system or the youth game is mentality. So making sure that, hey, you know, things are not going to go your way, but you keep pressing, you keep going, you stay committed to that. And if you have the right mentality, it can take you further than talent.
You know who I'm thinking of right now when you said that? Morocco.
Morocco has both. So Morocco has that mentality.
And it goes down from the top to their youth teams.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
No, it's that's something that, you know, I saw it with Argentina. I saw it with Morocco. Not only are they talented, but their mentality, their winning mentality is top-notch.
You got a winning mentality. Thanks for coming on tonight, Arturo. Congratulations. I'm really glad to see you involved in the game and being a part of the future of it. Keep up the good work.
No, thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, the one and only Arturo Alvarez. Let's give him a round of applause for coming in here tonight. Senate Avenue Brewing is where we're at. I do want to remind you of Slip Sliders down on Bins. It's in the Museum District right near Herman Park. I was about to say Memorial. Right near Herman Park on Bins. If you're down there and you're going to the museums or you're going to the zoo, Slip Sliders, great spot to go. They got beef, chicken sliders. They're all made to order, and they're absolutely delicious. I hit up the Shrimp Shack. That's my favorite one. Get down there. It's called Slip Sliders down on Bins. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Team Houston's John Luke Blackburn is up next. And by the way, he is a big Dutch fan. I think you might know that already from prior shows. Let's take a break here. Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village.
Soccer Matters.
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
Yes, it is. Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. here in Jersey Village. By the way, this is going to be a spot for you to watch the World Cup next summer. And Andrew Mitchum and company working hard at that. Andrew, by the way, is a big Houston Dynamo fan as well. I think he's a season ticket holder. All right, so if you're out and about on the town, make your way out here. Come get some of the award-winning craft beer, the food. We appreciate it. We got a couple of our good regulars out here supporting the show, which we love. And later on tonight, we're going to have Victor Ariza of CONCACAF jump on as well. We're going to do a little bit of talk around the MLS Cup final. But right now, we're going to go to Houston World Cup 2026. He is the originator of Team Houston. He has been on the show many times before. I consider him a good friend. He's doing some really amazing work on the World Cup from an organic standpoint. And really, there may be two of them, to my knowledge. I'm not sure. He is Jan-Luc Blackburn. He joins us now. And Jan-Luc, I want to reiterate to my audience, Team Houston, what it is, your organization, because I want them reminded what it is, and also tell them where they can get information on it to start the interview.
Okay, so they can go to team-houston.com. We started over a year ago as a bunch of, I say all the time, crazies. We are passionate about business, soccer, and Houston, and we felt that there was a need for more information around soccer in general, right? What the sport can do for you as a business, and then particularly the World Cup as a highlight. Having been and walked in Salvador in orange on my way to the Spain-Netherlands game, I'm hoping that we get that kind of experience here. But I felt, together with others over a year ago, that we were not even aware of what is coming, right? And so that turned into an effort where we are now going out and basically literally both online and in person are educating people on all the business opportunities around soccer, not only the World Cup, right? But just going out and telling them, look, it's the fastest growing sport in the U.S. Pay attention. It's the Gen Z sport. It's the Latino sport. And it's the women's sport. So it's the sport with the biggest future in the United States.
Jan-Luc Blackburn, he's joining us, Team Houston. Jan-Luc, take us into, you know, like everybody really focuses in on these World Cups. And it's going to be ever-changing. But the thing is, the reason we have the World Cup here is because of the love of the game in Houston, Texas. I think you've told me once we have 2 million-plus fans here, no question. Every nationality, every corner of the world probably is represented here in Houston. We got the World Cup in many ways because of the huge attendance out at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment out there at Energy Stadium, which is going to host the World Cup. But it's prior and after. I mean, soccer's not going to go away after this World Cup, which should be amazing. It should be a real fire starter, but it's not going to go away. It's still going to be here, and it's going to be a great thing to attach yourself to.
Yeah, and that's particularly our message, right? I mean, soccer is here 365 days a year. I mean, look, this is an example, right? I mean, today we are Monday, we're talking soccer, and tomorrow there's another thing, soccer, and every day there's something soccer going on in Houston. And therefore, I mean, with the multicultural city that we are, that everybody always talks about, I mean, we have some massive audiences. And for me, the biggest aha, and I mentioned this to you, was the famous Clásico, right, that was organized by La Liga and Walmart that happened in Escapade, where there were several thousand people showing up on a Sunday morning. And that, to me, is a proof that soccer is much more than the World Cup. Of course, the World Cup is the biggest event, and we say all the time it is an accelerator, right? So make your plans with soccer in mind, with the sport in mind, with the fan in mind, and have a plan that starts before and then during and after. And if you do that well, so you mentioned the 2 million fans that we have right now, the projections of growth for soccer are astronomous because of the World Cup. So let's say if there is a 50% growth, we're going to go from 2 million to 3 million, right? So if you're a business person and we're targeting the business community, which part of the world do you want to be in? You want to be in those markets, in those segments that are growing. And in Houston, the number is only going to be even bigger. We're one of the biggest soccer cities in the country. Not yet the biggest. I mean, L.A. and New York are doing spectacular numbers. But Houston is phenomenal. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, the most popular teams here are Barcelona and Real Madrid.
What a surprise. I would also say the teams in Monterrey are very, very important here in Houston because
yes.
of the travel over the border, the proximity. We have a lot of people from Monterrey that support Tigres and Rayados. And good news for them, they're both in the semifinals of the Liga MX playoffs. I want to go back, though, to something you said, which is very important, and that is new, unique fans, right? This World Cup will bring these indelible moments to people, and it will create, to your point, new, unique fans that will come to the sport for the first time.
Yes. So in there, I think as a business, right, I mean, you need to look at it in two ways. You're going to have the visitors, and those are sort of your temporary customers. They're going to bring you money. They're going to bring you a lot of cool stuff. They're probably going to bring you part of the experience. But the other ones is your at-home customers and maybe your new customers, right? This is an opportunity also for a place like this. I mean, to bring in new people. Bring in new people who are going to experience, we say, 39 days of madness, right? It's going to be a journey. It's not 7 Super Bowls. No, it's going to be 39 days where every day something new is going to happen. Every day there's a new development. Every day people are on edge. And that is something very special, and people are going to experience that. And so if the United States team is going to do well, you're going to see that there's going to be a lot of interest of, let's say, the local non-soccer community basically stepping in into what probably the Latino community already knows, but maybe the non-Latino community does not know enough, right?
Jan-Luc Blackburn joining us here. He is with Team Houston. All right, so Senate Avenue Brewing here. I mean, we all know that, and we've known this for a long time, a lot of the soccer fans are out in the suburbs, in the surrounding areas of central downtown Houston. Senate Avenue Brewing is going to be a spot for people in this area of town that may not want to go into the Fan Fest, may not be able to go to the game, and this can be a real focal and meeting point. We already have that with a lot of the clubs with watch parties on weekends. But that, to me, is very exciting. So we would call this a small to mid-level business, right? Probably a smaller business based on the amount of employees. It's a big operation, though, as we're in here. Speak to me about the small and mid-level businesses and,
yep.
and what they can take away from this.
First of all, I would say, wake up, right? And you know we're doing the constant wake-up calls because we think that not enough of the small and medium business community has been notified about the opportunity, right? So again, it's a short-term opportunity and a long-term opportunity at the same time. And for places like this, I think they're going to do well because they already have a base understanding of the audience. But for a lot of people, this is a new opportunity, an opportunity where they can say, you know what, I would love to have Liga MX watch parties, or I want to have Premier League watch parties, or I want to do something with the Champions League, or even the MLS, right? So those kind of opportunities are now going to be exposed to more entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs are in that way, if they do a good job, if they plan well, they're going to create new customer audiences. And so I can tell you, these kind of places, they know what they're doing. But there's a lot of places who have no idea, and they're asking a lot of questions. They're asking questions like, can I do a watch party? Can I just put something on a TV? Can I sell merch? So there's so many questions that we are trying to answer to the best of our abilities. And we think as we get closer, more and more detailed questions are going to come. And you're going to see, I think, lots and lots of watch events across the city because this is a very big city. Next week we're talking to the Chamber of Commerce in the Woodlands. That's a whole area that maybe up to a few weeks ago was not per se actively thinking about all of this. But I think we got a little trigger in there.
Good.
And that has changed. And we're on to probably more locations where we're going to do the same thing.
All this awareness creating is great for the game. Jan-Luc Blackburn joining us here, Team Houston. Okay, so you are always heavily engaged with great data and great bits of data. take us into some of the most interesting data around World Cup 2026 for Houston right now.
So, the most interesting data is that, as I said, right, I mean, the international teams are the most prominent teams. So what we see here in Houston is a fan base of a couple of million people that are primarily Premier League, Liga MX, and La Liga. And then somewhere at the bottom, right, I mean, shows up our friends from the Dynamo. So this is a very international market, so we have some very interesting data on that. We are now working with our partner on this, Raskasse, a German company, to create, and we'll be launching that probably later this week, to create host city reports so we can give insight to who is the fan in Houston, who is the fan in Boston and in LA and in Miami. And the same we're going to do for some of the key visiting countries so that we know who are the Brits that are coming, right? I mean, what is it that they do like, so that we can help, again, all these businesses to anticipate on what is going to happen in those 39 days. And, I mean, right now, for example, the Champions League is sort of like the number one sports event here in Houston, if it gets measured. The World Cup is still not yet there, right? I mean, you would think it would be sort of like on the number one spot, but it isn't yet. So there's still work to be done on overall awareness for the World Cup, right? So some of us who are close to it think that everybody knows, but do a little bit of checking, work to be done still. And it will naturally grow, of course. But that is, for somebody who comes from Europe, right? I mean, it's somewhat surprising to see that that is not yet top of the list.
Yeah, that is a bit surprising. We got two more minutes here. Let's knock it out with you. I do want to talk a little bit about the small business. What would you recommend right now to a small business if they wanted to attach themselves to the World Cup and to all these potential clients?
So I would tell them, right, I mean, don't wait. I mean, we have a lot of people who are saying, I need to wait until Friday because Friday I'm going to know everything. And we're telling people, no, you're only going to know the first round, right? So don't wait. I mean, there's no reason to wait. I mean, dig in, understand who the soccer fans are. We have a lot of tools on our website that people can download for free so you can familiarize yourself with the sport. Start doing things. I think that's the most important thing. For places who have not done watch parties or watch event, just start doing it, right? Take the Premier League, take the Champions League, and begin.
Or you could sponsor Soccer Matters.
You can sponsor Soccer Matters. I mean, there is we say to people there is opportunities to give and there's opportunities to take, right? I mean, you can get business from soccer, but you can also contribute. I mean, you had earlier on people talk about coaching and youth. Mm-hmm. Right, companies can do many things. They can, and this is the other thing. I mean, if this is the biggest sport or going to be one of the biggest sports, you can contribute at every level in the pyramid. And understanding those levels, so develop your understanding, seek your crowd, engage. Don't wait. Come to us with in February to a Dynamo game. Come with us to a Dash game. Start looking and start sponsoring or supporting the local soccer.
Go to a Rice College women's game. Go to a U of H women's game. Go out and watch some of the talent in all these youth programs in the city that are scattered all over the place. The two gentlemen that were just in here, Josh Gardner and Arturo Alvarez, are homegrown from the Houston fields and are now dictating and are decision makers in player development. It's really outstanding. And the stories are everywhere.
Yeah, and I would imagine that they would support the business community to support them, right? And so there is a lot of businesses out there that are asking us right now, how can we engage? And there we tell, right? I mean, it's not only the World Cup where you can engage. You can engage with the sport. And then there are certainly a whole lot more opportunities, maybe also more affordable opportunities.
All right. Outside of the Netherlands, because you're Dutch, so I got to take that one off the table. What team would you like to see here in Houston from an international perspective?
Ooh, well,
in the draw Friday.
I lived in Brazil. So, that's my second choice.
I know Josh said the same thing. Everybody's saying Brazil.
Yeah, so
because they're fun-loving. It's party. It's samba.
It's party. It's samba. I think if you look
Jogo Bonito.
the Jogo Bonito, but I think also you need to look at the fan experience, right? I mean, what are these teams bringing? Of course, some of the teams are going to bring great soccer, but some of the teams are going to bring great fan bases. And I think that that is also going to be a big eye-opener for the Americans, just to see what's possible when a crazy crowd comes to town and is just here for the fun, right? I mean, they're here for soccer, but they might not even go to the stadium. And that is a big, big element that I hope is going to be one of those phenomenal, nice orange moments we're going to enjoy.
Gianluca, as always, tremendous job. Team Houston, I met him at the beginning when this was an idea, and now I've seen it come to fruition. That was about over a year ago. You've been working so hard.
More to come
also. Doing a lot of good work, and I think we're having a lot of fun doing it as
Absolutely. Every time. Every time.
He's Gianluca Blackburn. He is Team Houston. We're going to take a break here. As we go to break here, I want to remind you, Energy Stadium, by the way, has to get a little bit of an update and has gotten an update for the World Cup. Our good friends over there at Lone Star Sports Entertainment, David Fletcher. Also, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. By the way, this is another example. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, it's the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. They're a little happier this weekend. They finally got a victory there. They've had it rough this year. But they're it's a great spot. Again, it's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, great whiskey and beer offerings. I-10, the Marquee Entertainment Center. We are here at Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. It is the award-winning craft beer of Senate Avenue Brewing. Let's take a break. Victor Ariza of CONCACAF next.
ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, yeah, we are super heavy. You can hear a Marley in this song. You can also hear Mick Jagger in here. There he is. Josh Stone's in this song. This is a cool album that didn't get a lot of PR, but go down to Cactus and get the album Super Heavy. It's got a lion on the front. It's really cool. Top to bottom, every track is good. It's almost like world music. It's such a mix. Even Victor Ariza's nodding his head to it. He's like, man, this guy, he knows his music. All right, Slip Sliders, 1802 Bins. You go down there for the best in sliders. They've got the chicken, beef, you name it, they have it. They got an outdoor patio now. They're down in the museum district. Slip Sliders, great spot. It's a new spot, and you want to get in there because there's a new revolution in sliders going on with Slip Sliders. But everything is fresh. It's all made to order. Very innovative. They got really cool drinks down there, shakes. Great concept. And, you know, you get like three of them. I do three. I could do four, five, and six. But I do three. And I mix it up. They've got salmon, chicken. The shrimp shack is like a shrimp patty that it's got a kind of sauce on it. I can't get the recipe from the owner. He's not going to give it to me, but it's exceptional. Again, it's Slip Sliders down on Bins, right near the museum district. So if you're down there and you're going to the zoo or Herman Park, head over to Slip Sliders 1802 Bins. Joining me now, he writes for CONCACAF. He's been a part of this show in the past. Good friend. He is Victor Ariza. He joins us now. Victor, how are you?
Good, Glenn. Always a pleasure to come on the show.
Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. This is a nice local show tonight with Arturo Alvarez, with Josh Gardner, with Jan Luke. I love these shows because I think it's great information for the community as well. The World Cup coming up, by the way, 48 teams, first time ever, up from 32. We will have 7 games here in Houston, Texas. And our games are June 14th, 17, 20, 23, 26, and 29. 29th is a round of 32. July 4th is a round of 16. And by the way, I want to remind you one more time, we are having a draw show right here live. I'm calling it groundbreaking because it is, because nobody else has ever done it in Houston, and I don't think a lot of people are doing it around the country. But we are doing live draw show, and we're going to, up to the minute, tell people who's getting placed in what groups. We're going to watch those ping pong balls and all the super celebrities who are involved in it, and we're going to talk about it, the groups, the teams, the history, you name it, top to bottom. We're going to have a number of good guests, and you're going to be one of them. All right, if you had your druthers, Victor, and you can't say Mexico or the U.S., who would you like to see come to Houston? And you can't say Brazil either, because everybody's saying Brazil.
You know, seeing all the available countries, I think there's not a bad pick. Germany, the Netherlands, Croatia, even Portugal. I mean, I think any country, any one of these countries, I mean, it's going to be a different. For Houston, I think it's going to be an eye opener because I don't think people are realizing the wave of what's coming with the fan bases of some of these European nations, or if we get one of the South American nations. I can't mention Brazil, but if we get Argentina, I mean, or something like that, you know, even in some of the other pots, right? Because there's different levels to this, different rankings. A country that could connect to of the many immigrants we have in Houston, a Colombia or a Japan or a Korea. Nigeria is unfortunately not into it, but
well, Colombia. I mean, we already know, and after we had Jan Luke on, we know Colombia packed out Energy Stadium for games. I mean, this city is just an incredible soccer city. I just don't think we've told the story well enough overall.
And that's just the people that are here that I'm mentioning.
And it can't just be people on a radio show. Every night we do an event like this, we meet people. Every night Jan Luke with Team Houston is doing things organically. You know, you're getting to differing people. I'm speaking at different places, and I'm speaking to audiences now that don't know as much about soccer over at River Oaks Country Club, or I got an upcoming at Kiwanis, and it's so enlightening to see the interest from people, and it reminds me that these are unique potential soccer fans and that we're going to get them in this next World Cup. Okay, I want to take you, and AJ, I'm going to need the soundbite. This is the Chicharito soundbite on the penalty kick. And if you got that, I would like you to play that right now. Chicharito of Chivas missing the penalty kick against Cruz Azul.
Y ahí está Javier Hernández otra vez a acomodar el balón. El Chicharito y la historia. Javier Hernández y una temporada para el olvido. Un regreso espantoso de Chicharito al fútbol mexicano que hoy le puede dar la vuelta a la historia. Ahí está el 14. El árbitro Daniel Quintero da la orden. Allá viene Chicharito Hernández a cobrar el penal. Chicharito, Chicharito, la anula.
Okay, that's enough. Poor Chicharito. By the way, to set the stage, it was 2-2 at that point. Chivas had to beat Cruz Azul to advance. This could have put them up 3-2. They ended losing 3-2 after a fantastic goal at the end of the game. But, you know, I'm mixed emotions after seeing what people are saying today. A lot of this Chicharito brings on himself. He only played 118 minutes. I'm questioning the coach. Why would he have him take the penalty? I'm questioning who is a designated penalty taker. Luis Romo had the ball, and all of a sudden Chicharito walks over and he hands it to him. So it looked as though the team knew he was going to take it. but you want your best penalty taker. You're not trying to set the narrative or give a guy his legacy. You want to win so you get another home date, all the money that comes with it, and to try and win a championship. Your take.
You know, this is a typical situation where the veteran on the field calls the play, right? And he says, give me the ball, and I'm taking it. And you know, for as much as, you know, I don't know how much you can put on Milito. What's he going to do, run into the field and say, hey, no, you're not taking it. Romo's taking it. I mean, I it's kind of a difficult spot there for the coach, I think, when a player like that, you know, and granted, he's had a few of these now, right? I don't think you would think a player like him would take it and convert it. Well, with his history, Manchester United, Real Madrid, Bayer Leverkusen, everywhere he's been.
Well, he missed one in MLS in a very big game for LA Galaxy.
The remember? Top scorer all time of the Mexican national team. I mean, this is not just any guy taking the ball for himself. But unfortunately...
Yeah, but wait a minute. He's only played 118 minutes. We know he's on the decline. We know his attentions are drawn to social media. He's not the most connected guy right now, whether he's
yeah,
a former Chivas star or not. But you know, this is Liga MX. Sometimes it just doesn't make... You can't make this stuff up. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's the game on the line, and, you know, it's easy to say after the fact.
It is true.
But... You know, and if you want to put on the coach, and maybe that I don't know what else you could do at that point once he took the ball. Again, it just had he made it, you heard it right there on the call. I mean, it was setting it up. That would have reverted history for him. That would have fixed all the wrongs up to that point. That would have made him the hero, the returning hero. And it just continues to be. It's like a Greek tragedy with Chicharito.
That's
it's
true.
Just. I mean, yeah. It's been. Going down since he's come back, and he missed a penalty with the Galaxy as well in the playoffs.
Yeah, he tried the Panenka, right?
What's been going around too, I think one of his last plays for Manchester United, he missed a penalty too, right? And then the camera moves over to Van Gaal, and he's looking over to the assistant coach.
You know, I mentioned it in the first segment. This guy, with his movement and mobility in his prime, early times at Chivas, Manchester United, Leverkusen, by the way, in Germany. Why he didn't stay there, I don't know. They loved him. But his movement and his mobility, he was a specialist, and he was a movement and mobility specialist. He's kind of like Müller, Thomas Müller, too, who understands space.
He was a golden boy. He was in the Champions Cup final with Manchester United.
He didn't need to touch the ball much. All he needed to do was apply the finishing touch because of his movement, and he pulled apart defenses, and he was so fun to watch. I mean, I just remember all those, you know, team in transition. He checks towards the near post, goes behind the defender. Defender doesn't know where he is, turns his eye away from the delivery, and the next thing you know, Chicharito flashes in and scores. And then it's all gone wrong. And I don't get the guru. It's sad in a way. And I know it happens to a lot of players. But look, the greats, and I mentioned a guy like Harry Kane, they're not tooling around on social media that much.
Yeah.
They're not trying to get their ego stroked there or whatever it is you get from all of that.
Or playing video games and streaming it.
So I don't know. It's kind of sad. Now, overall, the Liga MX playoffs are very interesting now. So you got Toluca again against Rayados, and then you get Cruz Azul taking on Tigres. And Tigres, I mean, turned around a 3-0 aggregate. Thoughts?
Well, I think we're all kind of – well, I say we all, but I'm sure there's different fan base. But I think we're – you know, that there's that juicy matchup, right, that final that would be the Monterrey derby, the Clásico Regio, Monterrey. And certainly with Sergio Ramos, it's already been reported that it's going to be his last season in Mexico. So the former Real Madrid legend could go.
You want him to come to the Dynamo, don't you? I know you do.
Well, you know what? If they're not going to win, they might as well sell some tickets and give some, rile up this fan base a little bit.
We need an injection for sure. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's hard for Dynamo fans to be watching what's going on in Vancouver. I mean, because it's all next level.
Yeah.
We're not close.
And by the way, there's a lot of Houston in these two fan bases from Monterrey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tigres as well.
So let's do that. You gave me the perfect entry. AJ, let's play the Osiel Herrera goal for Tigres. This is goal number 4 in the comeback. So they go into this second leg. They're down 3-0 on aggregate to Tijuana, and they win by 5-0 at El Volcan, their home stadium. And this is the fourth goal here that put them in the lead at 4-3 on aggregate.
Para dar un poquito de explosividad y encontrar quizá alguna en el espacio, pero acá viene Lainez, centro de Lainez, el cuarto.
We're not even watching it, and we're in here clapping. Like, I mean, we're feeling the emotion from the commentator. But that stadium, I mean, every game, it's 50,000 people.
They do it for the women, they do it for the men. Yeah. I mean, it's a crazy atmosphere, one of the best in all of Mexico. And you can bet if they have a final, they're going to be riled up. They got a super team as well. We talked about Angel Correa. We saw Angel Correa here in Houston for the Leagues Cup.
We saw Correa score an incredibly sick goal.
Yeah, so they just have a surplus of talent. Just mentioned Osiel Herrera. Diego Lainez seems to be revived. So let's see. Tigres, Rayados, these have been the high spenders. So let's see if it becomes a reality or if a Toluca, the defending champion, can uphold, you know, their number one overall on the table. Can they continue to prove people wrong because they will always be overlooked because they're not as popular as a team, even with the 11 titles they have, as some of the other teams around the nation. We'll see if they have something to say as well.
I always, whenever I hear Toluca Red Devils, I think of Cardoso and Vicente Sanchez.
And some people still do. I mean, that's kind of what they've always been battling against. Like, again, I don't know how many people other than Toluca fans are really looking to this Toluca team. It's not as surprising if they win it, but it's not like people are picking them as the favorites as much as some of the other popular teams.
So Mexico, so Liga MX is so unpredictable. I mean, common sense sometimes just doesn't reign down there.
Yeah, and again, a lot of it is popularity, right? Like the Cubs are always going to have fans because they're so popular. People are always going to cheer for them, think they're going to have a chance to win it all or something like that, right? So I think that's sort of a Cruz Azul, for example. Luck may not always be on their side, but they're always going to have the numbers behind them, people supporting them, people wanting them to lift the cup. More so than maybe a Toluca would.
Yeah, I think 100%. And, you know, these stories are always incredible. I mean, one of their owners, Billy Gonzalez, I think was his name.
The president.
Runs off with all the money of the club. They find him in, Brazil. They bust him. They throw him in jail. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this stuff happens, yet, you know, the games are entertaining. How do you compare the aesthetics of Liga MX to MLS?
It's raw passion. I mean, it's what the sport is, right? You just talked about why don't people dribble as much. I mean, you can dribble in Liga MX, right? I mean, it's kind of like the money's there, the passion's there, the fan bases are there, the pressure's there. Liga MX just doesn't have the marketing behind it as an MLS does. Otherwise, I mean, it'd be bigger in the United States. It's got the numbers. It's got or at least when it was over the air. Now everything's kind of with the cable packages, right? But when it was just Univision over the air, I mean, I think the ratings number were there where it was more popular than Premier League. Again, the over-the-air stuff I'm sure helped, but it's just the fan base is there. And I think they've always tried to find a way to – well, I don't know if always. I mean, but I think the marketing power is lacking. A lot of it has to do with the owners and the way it's, you know, gatekeeping in Liga MX, where with MLS they have all that stuff figured out. They just don't have the entertainment on the field to match some of these other leagues. Until
we have in the playoffs, I will tell you, there's been some exciting games, but there is a long period where, you know, it's not a lot of consequence, and I don't, you know, you can fix that by having less playoff spots and putting a little bit more skin in the game. I think people have spoken about that. Messi has spoken out and said you got to spend more on players. Can you stick with us another segment here? Okay, we're gonna talk a little Mexican national team because my good friend Fidel will want to talk about that. All right, before we go to break here, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Again, Cactus Music, great place for by the way, Christmas is coming up, so you got somebody in the family who likes vinyl. By the way, CDs are making a comeback too, right? That's what I've heard. So I'm glad I have mine. I'm not glad that I took
Should
all
I
the
give
cover.
You a Walkman for Christmas?
I'll take a Walkman too. I'm going old school. I think I'm going off the grid after tonight's show. That's it. I'm off the grid. This is my last show. Off the grid. Yeah, CDs, I do think, are making a comeback. The only problem with me is I threw away all the covers of them and put them in sleeves, so I don't have the original covers, which devalues them. But it doesn't matter because I'm going to play them for myself, I guess. All right, this is Hunger Strike by a band called Temple of the Dog. Really cool song. Some of these guys were in Pearl Jam, too. So pretty cool song. Okay, LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. We got a few of them out here tonight. Great place. You need printing needs, you name it. They're going to give you the best in deals. It is LamontBrands.com. Let's take a break here. More to come. Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard, right off of 290. This is your place to watch sports, and it'll be your place to watch the World Cup in this part of the town. Come 2026 in June. Take a break. We'll come back. More to talk about.
HD2.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, so Wednesday and Saturday will be the home and home for Liga MX teams, but we got the MLS Cup Final. Inter Miami's at home. Both these teams have good supporting casts, but they also have superstars. Thomas Muller for Vancouver has been lighting it up. We also have Lionel Messi, you know, that guy named Messi. Two good coaches, Jesper Sorensen, pulled off a huge victory over San Diego. San Diego and Mikey Veras, I think, were outcoached. I mean, nobody likes to say that on the radio, but it happens. This was where a coach had a heavy influence on this game. You've got another exceptional coach in Javier Mascherano who, you know, this is the first time he's had a day-to-day coaching job. So some thoughts on the final. It's the one MLS wanted. It's going to be sold out. The ticket prices are high.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
It's one of the finals. I don't think MLS is going to be too disgruntled. I still think maybe Inter Miami LAFC was the one. But this is right up there. This is 1A and 1B, right? I think because of what Tomas Muller has done with Vancouver. No question he's had an impact, and everything he's done I think has built up to this. I think he was that injection into this Vancouver team that just put him over the top. Because let's not forget, at the beginning of the year, Vancouver got to the final of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They got smoked by Cruz Azul in the final. They didn't have Sebastian Berhalter as one of their players. But I think instead of calling it quits, you know, they've kept it going. They got to the final of the Canadian Cup again. Now they're in the MLS Cup final. It's been a big year for them, for a team that, like, I agree, they used to just exist. And now they've been reinvigorated, and we'll see. They got as good a chance as any to
win. Send some message to other teams
Absolutely.
In the league.
Absolutely.
I think this year, if you follow trends, teams with big stars have done a lot. By the way, here's a thing on Vancouver that everybody has to acknowledge here based on what they did and put it in context. They lost an exceptional defender in Ranko Veselinovic, and they also lost their key playmaker named Ryan Gold, okay, who was a big money player and is back now. But they were able to do it and not lean on, hey, we're injured, yada, yada, yada. The two biggest things that they did, and I'm going to put an interview that I did with Boy, his name's escaping me right now. How can I? Oh. Paul Dolan. Duh. Paul Dolan. I'm going to put his interview up because he's got some thoughts on Vancouver. So that'll be up on ESPN 97.5 and also wherever you listen to podcasts. So that'll be an additional interview. But Jesper Sorensen hiring, which came right before the season. That was after Vani Santini or yeah. Sartini.
And there were some people crying.
Liked.
Yeah.
They were upset. That becomes an upgrade. And then you get Thomas Muller to take a good team next level.
Absolutely. Just says all the right things. Has turned the culture around. He said it himself. Hey, why are we just happy? You know, people are, no, let's aspire to more. And he's been out. He's been making a rounds. Not just to the NHL games. He's been out to the women's soccer games as well. I don't, you know, wherever he goes, he's a Vancouver ambassador. He's a star player you would want. And historically, he's had the upper hand on Messi, right?
Yeah, he deflected a lot of that. I don't think any question. But this guy, I mean, this is almost like a Caitlin Clark effect. I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, he has changed the entire culture
in
the city. Yeah, and is having a great time doing it. I just hope he doesn't end up like the famous New York Yankee Yogi Berra. Because Yogi Berra is remembered first for Yogiisms, but people forget that guy won so many World Series and everything else. Last shout to you. Give me 45 seconds on Mexico currently at this moment in time here. You know, a year ago, Mexico was doing a little bit better and the U.S. was struggling. Tons of criticism. Where are they at right now?
Well, they're trying to figure it out, right? You know, again, it comes with the pressure of being the host country. But the good thing is, Vicente Fernandez, a famous Mexican singer, it's not about getting there first. It's about knowing how to get there. And Mexico's got enough time to figure it out. And we'll see if they can put it together with the magic of hosting the World Cup.
Victor Ariza, thank you very much for coming on tonight. It won't be the last time. We'll see you December 5th on The Draw Show, East River 9. For the podcast of this show, ESPN975.com. You can also go to Spotify and Apple. Appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. We've got Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup, also on Wednesday. So lots of soccer content here. Opine, come in with criticism, healthy. It's okay. We don't mind. We got a thick skin here. Tell us what you want. But make sure you listen and you participate. That'll do it tonight. For Brian McDonald here, AJ Russ back in studio, and our great host, Senate Avenue Brewing, and our guest tonight, Jan-Luke Blackburn, Victor Ariza, Arturo Alvarez, and Josh Gardner. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night from Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.